Well, happy Mother's Day to all for whom that applies, and congratulations to you seniors. I know you have a little bit of work yet before you're actually done, but we're glad to be able to celebrate you today. So in the midst of a sermon series now on ordinary witnesses that we've been doing since Easter, our focus today is actually on that word ordinary. Most of you have had some connection with the Bible and recognize that it is a really big, even epic story of how God is at work in the world, but for many of us, we are not so sure about how we participate in that big story of God. Maybe our ordinary lives and even our experience of faith is not so dramatic. We can feel like we have done things maybe that disqualify us or that we're not quite fit to be a part of that big story of God, or we're just not religious enough, or whatever it might be. So today we turn the page, if you will, in Scriptures, come to this very small book, the book of Ruth. It's a story of two widows, essentially, and a farmer in their small, out-of-the-way village where they live. Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz are given a quiet part, if you will, but and maybe even obscure, but what we learn is that that part proved critical for the way everything turned out. So we're going to read it a little bit from the second chapter of Ruth, and Madison, thank you for reading the first chapter, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. But before I read it, let's pause and pray. Lord, we are grateful for your steadfast love and mercy that comes to us new every morning. Direct our way into your larger story. Breathe in us once again. Revive, restore, heal, renew all of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So from Ruth chapter 2, continue listening for God's word to you. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have a standing even as one of your servants." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm hoping that some of you have a basic knowledge of the book of Ruth, but even if you don't, it's well worth commenting on the fact that the story begins with tremendous loss. So this very small Bethlehemite family living in Judah leaves that place in order to go to Moab in the midst of a severe famine. It's just a small family. It's just mother and father and two sons. For a while, things seem to go okay. The sons take wives. They are able to live off the land, but then tragedy upon tragedy strikes. First the father, Elimelech, dies, and then both of the sons die. The mother, Naomi, whose name means sweet, her life has turned Mara, bitter, and she later names herself that. What was once a sweet life has become bitter. Her two daughters-in-law are in the same position. They are essentially destitute. Back then, there was no inheritance plan for women. In fact, the only plan that there was what was called levirate marriage back then. The hope that some male relative of Elimelech would actually take Naomi in and also the daughters-in-law. It was part of what they were called kinsmen redeemers. And Ruth and Orpah, who are from Moab, that feels even a little bit riskier because without help from family, they are simply foreigners. They are not part of the community or the tribe. So let's pause there for just a moment. It's Mother's Day. Well, we're celebrating and honoring our mothers today, but we all would be aware of the fact that there are those here with us today who have lost their mothers. There are some who are mothers even who are currently dealing with a severe illness or even disease. There are mothers and fathers here today who have lost children. There are would-be mothers who haven't been able to have a child, even if they want to. There is divorce, there is broken relationship, there are irreconcilable differences. All of us have something. And like Naomi and her daughters-in-law, most all of us have experienced something that would cause us to feel our lives have turned from sweet to bitter. And that's a point of decision right there about how you're going to respond. Where will we go from there? How will we live and move and have our being? So in the story, Naomi hears that God has come to the aid of his people back in Judah. And really her only hope is to return and to find one of those kinsmen redeemers. But for the daughters-in-law, this presents even a different risk. Naomi's going back to where she at least has family, where some people know who she is. But for Ruth and Orpah, they are really being pushed off into a new place, a new country, a new people where they have never been before. There are no guarantees that they will be accepted. There is no guarantees that they will have any security. They will be referred to as strangers and foreigners. So seniors, maybe this is your point of connection with this text today. Not that you are foreigners or any of that kind of part of it, but rather that our culture at high school is basically a time when we expect you all to leave home, to go off somewhere else, to college, or even if you are not leaving town, to step into something else in terms of vocation, to step a little bit further into adulthood, whatever that might look like. And even if, I don't know that any of you are doing this, in fact, I don't think you are, even if you were to take a gap year, you're still in that awkward place of trying to figure out where's your place? Who are your people? What is your purpose? What will your future look like? In this story, at Naomi's pleading, one of the daughter-in-laws, Orpah, returns to her family and home in Moab. It was the wisest thing that she could have done. It's the best chance that she had at finding some security, maybe even another husband. Ruth, however, chooses to stick with, to cling to Naomi. I'd like to think that Ruth's family gave their blessing to all of this. I expect for you seniors that you have already felt that blessing from your own families, that even though they know that this is a big change and at some point in time, later into the summer, when they actually take you off to college, there will be that sense of sadness, at least on their part, that you are left there and they are coming home. When it was my turn to do that, we couldn't talk for an hour in the road on the way home. But in the midst of all of that, it is good that you are heading off. It is good that you are branching out. We expect that to happen. You've been raised to find your way into the world, to take responsibility, to be a part of adding to the community, to find a purpose. I'd like to think that that was true for Ruth, but probably not. I suspect that she was responding to something deeper inside that maybe she couldn't even articulate very well. Now, bear in mind that everybody in this story is looking for the same thing we are. Security, stability, well-being, family, purpose, rest. And the truth is that the whole story turns not on a place to be or a place to find, but on a way of living in spite of wherever you may be. It's captured in a single word in Hebrew. The word is hesed. Can't really be translated very well with a single English word. In this passage, one of the words that's used is kindness. Often it's translated as loving kindness, faithfulness. Richard Foster uses durable mercy. It is all these things with just a little bit extra. Kindness that goes just a little bit beyond what's deserved. loyalty that's more than just what's expected. Mercy and grace that goes the distance, that's there with somebody for a long, long time. That extra bit, that exceptional bit, is what Hesed is all about. Jesus described this in his Sermon on the Mount when he was talking about this is living in such a way that we are willing to go the extra mile for another person's sake, or to give an extra cloak when someone else needs it, or even to offer the extra cheek when it's necessary. So this word in Hebrew is a covenant term. It's the way in which God relates to human beings, and it's how God hopes and wants people to relate to him and to others. There is a sense in the midst of this of everything that God expects of us. So when Naomi hears that God has come to the aid or considered, that word is also a way in which they describe Hesed. God is extending kindness and mercy and grace and faithfulness to his people. Maybe by now you are asking what this has to do with witness. Even if you're not, I'm going to tell you what it is. But in the book of Ruth, we see these three main characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, living into this way of life, doing what God wills, expressing what God has called forth in them, practicing Hesed. I find I have really been irked lately when people have talked about kindness as weakness. I would say to you that this kind of kindness that we're talking about today is most evident and important, one of the most evident and important acts that we can do to be witnesses of our Lord. Tony Campolo once quoted a little girl who prayed, "God, make all the bad people good and make all the good people nice." Kind, faithful, helpful. So there's three ways that we can practice Hesed, and I sort of am pulling this from each of the characters, from Naomi, from Ruth, from Boaz, three things for all of us. So with Naomi, first of all, we sense in her blessing, even to her daughter-in-laws, something that's much deeper than just her anguish and grief. In spite of her complaint against God, she says to them, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house, and may the Lord deal kindly, hesedly, with you, as you have dealt kindly with your dead husbands, my sons, and with me. And the Lord grant you true security." I think the key is that she doesn't play the role of the victim. It's not about what's going on with her completely. We hear Naomi later on expressing her complaint a little bit more clearly to God, and maybe that's the other part of it. Not only is she refusing to just be a victim, but she is also clearly ready to go and turn towards God rather than away from God. Sometimes when bad things happen to us, we have a tendency to turn away from God. She turns toward God, and it actually is a sort of lament, to bring to God all of the things that she's upset about and that she's afraid about and that she's hurt about, to bring that before God. And it's a funny thing that actually enables her to care well for her daughters-in-law in spite of all that has happened. It's a very different thing. And it is such a temptation for all of us to just fall into the line of being victims. Because what follows after that is, well, gosh, if we can just blame this person or that person or whatever it is for the way the things that we don't like in our own life. But Naomi just seeks, what's the next steps? How can I still be kind to my daughter-in-laws? How can I still turn towards God in the midst of a really difficult time? Later, we will see her advising Ruth, helping her to build friendships with others as they go back to Judah. She will direct where she's supposed to go and how she's supposed to get there, and eventually the answers to her prayers and her complaints that comes from God actually comes through Ruth. To practice Hesed, not play the victim. Turn to God. Take the next steps. With Ruth, we see her choice to cling to Naomi. All of the extra that we have been talking about with Hesed is embodied by Ruth. Extraordinary loyalty to her mother-in-law. Extra caring for her. Taking risks to go to a place that was strange to her with the people that are strange. Interesting thing is that there is also an element of faith quietly, slowly that we see underneath. There is this formation of this deep faith in God that she's going to take on Naomi's God as her own, and there's something important that's happening. But Ruth ends up being an example of a person who lives with integrity and kindness and loyalty and faith, even though she is an outsider and a foreigner. And she gets known for this. People recognize that she is living as a person who truly believes, who is truly faithful. In some sense, she is the truest Israelite. And then there's Boaz. His name means pillar. He is a pillar of the community. He is a pillar of faith. He is a man of substance and means. We realize that he is obedient because he is obedient to the Old Testament laws of gleaning. Rather than stripping all his fields completely bare, he leaves the edges as is commanded so that those who are in need, the poor and otherwise, can live. He goes even further in showing his protection and kindness for Ruth, a young woman you can imagine out there gleaning for herself. He takes her on. I think the key is chapter 2, verse 10, when Ruth's response is this: "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" Practicing Hesed involves taking notice, taking interest. I hope even for you seniors, you take this part to heart. Wherever you're going off to, whatever new things you're doing, to actually notice who is not in the group, who is left out, who can be helped, who needs help. Edward Campbell, whose commentary on Ruth, he puts it this way: Boaz is rightly called one of the kinsmen redeemers, but he says this: redeemers are to function on behalf of persons within the larger family. They are to take responsibility for the unfortunate and stand as their supporters and advocates. They are to embody the basic principle of carrying responsibility, whether that's because of a circumstance a person is going through, injustice, or simply bad choices. Is it any wonder that we call Jesus Redeemer for the whole human family? Practicing Hesed, resisting the temptation to be a victim, instead turning towards God, taking kindness and loyalty to the next level, taking notice of those who are around us. So Tony Campolo told a story about a school teacher named Miss Thompson. I've told it before, but it's a great example. So Miss Thompson, every year when she met her new students, she would say, "Boys and girls, I love you all the same. I have no favorites." Of course, she wasn't being exactly truthful because every teacher has their favorites. And what's worse is most teachers have a student they just really don't like. Teddy Stollard was the boy that Miss Thompson really didn't like. He just didn't seem interested in school. He had kind of a deadpan expression all the time. His clothes were musty. His hair was unkept. He was an attractive boy, and he certainly wasn't likable. Whenever she marked Teddy's papers with her red pen, she got a certain kind of perverse pleasure out of putting X's upon his places where he'd messed up. She should have known better. She had Teddy's records, and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. The record said this: first grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is very slow but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. So Christmas came, and all the boys and girls brought their gifts for their teacher. Miss Thompson was a little surprised that Teddy Stollard actually brought a gift as well, wrapped in brown paper with Scotch tape. When she opened up Teddy's present, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with most of the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. All the other kids began to tease and smirk, and at least Miss Thompson had enough sense to silence them immediately by putting the bracelet on and squirting a little bit of the perfume and saying, "Oh, don't you smell all that?" At the end of the day, when school was over and all the other children had left, Teddy had lingered, and he came up and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you liked my presents." Well, that was enough to drive Miss Thompson to her knees. And when the children returned to school, she was different. Different in the way that we are talking about this morning. A person committed to practicing hesed, to doing the extra, particularly for the ones that needed it the most. So she helped all the children, but especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy Stollard. And by the end of that year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement. He had caught up with many of the students and was ahead of even some of them. She didn't hear from Teddy for a long time, and then one day she received a note that read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stollard." And 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have known. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stollard." Of course, Miss Thompson went to that wedding. Ordinary teacher, exceptional witness. I'm guessing that most of you know how the book of Ruth ends. This outsider, widow, Ruth, uprooted and obscure, turns out to be the great-grandmother of David and the ancestor of Jesus Christ himself. I think the book of Ruth makes it possible for each of us to see ourselves practicing hesed, to see ourselves as irreplaceable witnesses to the full telling of God's story, no matter where we are and no matter where we go. We count, every last one of us, we count. And what we do, it matters. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.